It has nothing to do with the 100,000 pounds of food we're going to give away. It has nothing to do with the 1,000 backpacks filled with school supplies, the job resources, the health fair resources, the education resources, the civic commitments, the, you know, expungements. None of that. It's the people that are coming that is most important. They are our guest of honor. When they walk onto our campus, they should feel like they are a guest of honor. So now, the title of the message will be Guest of Honor. What better example do we have as a guest of honor than none other than Jesus Christ? For many of us, it gets easy if we begin to see Jesus as our guest of honor. So now, for our scripture reading, let's go to John, the 12th chapter. And Elder Doug, I appreciate you so much, sir. Because Pastor notified us, I talked to him yesterday, but he notified us Wednesday that we was doing Sunday. We was going to tag team Sunday. And we was like, okay, we got it. We'll do whatever it is you want us to do. The only other discussion outside of that was, do you want me to take the first half? You take the second half? I was like, Elder Doug, whatever you say, you are elder, I submit. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to take the first half. You just go ahead and take the second half. I'd rather for you to bring the word. Okay. We did no other discussion outside of that. And he gets right up and jumps into Luke, the 10th chapter. I appreciate you, sir. That's how you know it's one God, one spirit. Because he's right into where we're going to talk about. Amen? All right. I'm going to go ahead and read it from the screens. John, the 12th chapter. Okay, yep, starting at verse. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Amen? We all got it? If not, you can read along the streams with me. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Next one. You want me to get it down here? There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The computer is slow. I understand because I'm normally up there working that. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Amen. In this particular scripture, what we have here, it hasn't been long since Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Like any of us that's in vocational ministry, anybody that actually does ministry on an ongoing basis, and really that should be everybody under the sound of my voice, because we should always be witnessing and testifying about how good God is in our lives, but that was a sidebar. So like many of us, anyone who is involved in ministry on an ongoing basis, we look forward to times when we can get away, where we can go get some rest, where we can have some downtime. Now, to really paint the backdrop as to what was happening here, this was 6 days before the Passover. This was 6 days before Jesus knew it was about to be all over for him. This is 6 days before he knew that he was going to have to face the Sanhedrin council and actually go through the shame and everything else that was dealt with at Calvary on my behalf, on your behalf. Nobody else knew this, but Jesus knew exactly what it was he was about to face in 6 days. Like many of our guests of honor that's going to show up here on 22 August, we have no idea what they're about to face in the days ahead. But this is why we need to prepare ourselves and treat them like they are our guest of honor. Now, everybody needs this place of rest to relax and enjoy the fellowship of friends. This is especially true for those of us in ministry, like I said. Now, Jesus was at the home of Simon the leper. Mary, Martha, and a brother Lazarus of Bethany were there along with the disciples. Bethany is located just a few short miles outside of Jerusalem. That's neither here nor there. I don't know why I put it in there, but I did. Jesus knew everything that he was about to face. It is here, though, that we learn to first honor Jesus in our home. Kingdom Life Church is our home in this community. Now, I could ask you the question, though, how you honor Jesus in your home. And as I go through these things, maybe you should be taking note about how you really honor Jesus in your home. So now let's take a look at how we should honor Jesus in our home. Notice how welcome Jesus was in the home of Simon the leper. It was a place where his friends were, a place where he felt welcome, and a place where he could rest. No doubt Jesus at times grew weary and looked forward to these times of serenity and peace. Here's a home in which Jesus was the honored guest. Once again, my question is, how do you honor Jesus in your home? There are many Christian homes where Jesus would not be all that comfortable today. The things that are watched on television, our attitudes, how we act, the things that we listen to, the things we look at, would bring an offense and grieve the Holy Spirit. There are many homes where Jesus will always feel like an outsider. We do not want any of these guests to come on that day to feel like an outsider. Amen? As followers of Jesus Christ, we should strive to have homes where Jesus is always the unseen guest. We should strive to be the kind or to live the kind of lives in private that could be viewed publicly without any embarrassment or shame. Honoring Jesus in our home means making him Lord or master of everything. That's how easy it is. Once you make him Lord, then it's easy to have him as a guest in your home. Elder Doug began to talk about worshiping God and what praise does. If we live a life of worship, if we live a life of adoration before God, we're spending this time with God, it'd be easy to welcome any of these guests onto this property, onto this campus as our honored guests. Amen? But if we're going to honor him in our homes, there's someplace else where we must honor him first. We must honor God in our hearts. Notice in verse 2 and 3, and I won't ask you to turn back there, but verse 2 and 3, if you go back and look at it, we find three different people. Elder Doug already started talking to us about these three different people. You had Martha, you had Mary, and you had Lazarus. Each of these three people worship or honor God in their own distinct way. They each had their own different passion or their own different disposition of heart and how they chose to honor Jesus. The first one mentioned is Martha. The scripture says that she made him a supper and Martha served. If you go through the scripture, you find this picture of Martha cooking, serving, giving the best of her heart to God through the gift of hospitality. I had in here, turn to Luke 10:38-42, but Elder Doug had already covered it. One of the things that he pointed out in there was, when you read it in Luke, Martha was a bit bitter because of the fact Mary was not honoring Jesus the way that she was. And so she went and dropped dime to Jesus, you know, like, hey, Mary ain't doing this. I'm in here doing all this stuff. And he was like, ho, let Mary be. Mary worshiping me the way that she know how. It's the best for her. You do it your way. Well, have you ever had, all right, like for me growing up, Saturday mornings was a huge chore day. You couldn't go out to do anything. It was going to be no activities until all the chores was done in the house. Or, you know, for the men, and you know, have you been married and you got guests that's coming over, and so your wife gets on this cleaning binge? Everybody under the sound of her voice is about to clean. Why? Because she's on a cleaning binge. That's the way Martha was. Everybody was going to get involved, whether you wanted to or not. Okay, for us here at KLC, that person would be Minister Teresa Wilson. She's going to be our Martha because everybody is getting involved, whether you want to or not. This is a cleaning binge. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is the way Martha worshiped. But that wasn't the only form of worship that needed to happen. Martha here is seen as, she was called worried, or the worried housekeeper. Since Jesus was a guest of honor at home, she wanted everything to be just perfect and wanted to get everyone on board to make sure it was right. You see, for Martha, honoring Jesus meant serving him, doing that which she loved to do, doing that which she knew best, cooking and serving. Counselors today might call that her love language. That was the way that her language of love spoke to Jesus. What is your love language? How do you tell Jesus that you love him? How do you show Jesus that you love him? Is it through serving? Is it through cooking? Is it through honoring others? Is it through prayer? Is it through uplifting others? Is it through encouragement? How do you show your love for Jesus? The next person mentioned in this list is Lazarus. The scripture simply says that Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. Seemed like the spot I want to be in. If everybody else running around doing the cooking and cleaning, I'd rather be reclining at the table with Jesus. Now, looking at this, we might think that this is negative. Or we might think that Lazarus was lazy. But there's a specific reason why the scripture tells us that Lazarus was one of the ones who was simply reclining. While Martha wanted to serve Jesus, Lazarus simply wanted to enjoy his presence. He wanted to fellowship with him, talk with him, ask him questions, and listen to him speak. He wanted to enjoy every minute he had with the master. How does that translate to you and I? Because some of these guests are going to come in here with a story they want to share. We've been running around. Most of us are going to get here at 7 in the morning. We're going to be running around doing things, preparing for them right up until 10 o'clock when that gate opens. By the time 12 o'clock roll around, most of us are going to be hungry, thirsty, famished, tired. And guess what? It's at that point, somebody's going to come up to you with alcohol on their breath, talking about how bad of a week they've had. That's your moment to recline. Not necessarily with Jesus, but recline with the Jesus that's on the inside of you. Amen. Woo. Now, they may not be Jesus, but we're still going to get an opportunity where we have to begin to listen, have compassion for the others that are around us. Amen? There's nothing wrong with simply enjoying being in the presence of God. There are times and places where we are to be still and know that He is God. There are seasons in our pilgrimage that we are predisposed to simply enjoy fellowship with our Lord. That was what Lazarus was doing. He was enjoying fellowship with Jesus. But now our final person in this. Looking at verse 3, we find Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Instead of serving Jesus food, instead of simply enjoying a conversation with him, Mary was moved with love for the Savior. And she wanted to demonstrate her devotion in a more dramatic way. I want you to stop for a moment and begin to recognize that there are different levels of in which we honor Jesus. There are different levels at which we worship him. Different levels at which we show him how much we love him. Martha and Lazarus both loved Jesus, and for them, their response to him was perfectly normal. It's what they always did. But the text shows us that what Mary did was led to a way that went beyond what the others had done. The scripture says she took a pound of spikenard, which was made from a plant which grows in India, and she anointed his feet and wiped it with his anointed his feet. And then wiped his feet with her hair, and the odor of the ointment filled the house. There's several things I want us to notice about Mary in this act of worship. First things first, she gave her best to Jesus. The word tells us that this ointment was about a year's worth of salary. 300 denarii, we don't understand that. So now let's bring it to 2015. Actually, we're in 15, but we're going to bring this to 2014 because because y'all know statisticians aren't that fast, so they don't actually have accurate numbers for 15 because we're still in it. So we're going to bring this fast forward to 2014. What is the average income per individual in the United States in 2014? Somebody just throw a number at me. $38,000. $26,000 was the average salary. The median household, because they're looking at two people, is right around $50,000, $51,000. But let's say $26,000 a person. That's low. But we know that's hard to live off of. Amen. If that's where you are, we're believing God for more and increase in your life. Amen. So let's say, living in today's time, she took a bottle of oil that was $26,000 and dumped it all on Jesus' feet. How much of us had that type of love for Jesus? Oh, see, okay, for those that are not familiar with my ministry is always trying to get you to look at the man in the mirror. Because nobody knows you better than you. See, you can come in here and put on the church face and it looks good in front of everybody else. But what happens when you get back home is what I'm hoping will begin to take place. God always gives me a word to point us right back to us. See, this is why I like spending so much time in the word. God has begun to show me so much about me. See, I can stand before you and know what my weaknesses are. I have an appetite for more money. It's like it's never enough. Greed. I have a healthy appetite for food that sometimes is, well, you can see it's overtaking me at this time. I know the man in the mirror. Do you know yourself? She took a year's worth of salary and just broke this thing and anointed Jesus' feet with it. She gave him her very best. If most of us become honest and get real with the man in the mirror, we would honestly say we don't give God our best tenth. I talk about money. I don't get nervous at all. It's what I do. I do. I love money. We won't even give God our best tenth. Not even a 10% will we give to God. But yet we're running around the church talking about how much we love him. We're on our job. Tell him, praise Jesus. Won't he do it? Yeah, he will. We declare and make statements like we're giving God our best, when actually, we're not even giving him a tenth of what we have. Our honored guests will begin to feel the impact of that when they step foot on this campus. If you're not willing to give God your very best, guess what? Street people know it whenever you are not authentic. People in the street would tell you in a heartbeat, you're fake. They'll come and take every free gift you got in here, though, and walk right out of here and go, KLC is fake. They won't be able to do it, though, if we get real with the man and begin to give God our best. Amen. How much do we love Jesus? The fact that 20% of nearly every church gives 80% of the financial resources to fund its ministries tells me that while many people claim to love Jesus, they are not willing to give them their very best. Many people who claim to follow Jesus have never come to know him to the degree that they are willing to give him the best of their lives. They are not willing to give him their children for the ministry or the mission field. They're not willing to give him their time on a daily or weekly basis. They're not willing to give him one-tenth of all that he has given them. They may claim to love Jesus, but they don't define love the same way that Jesus does. How did Jesus define love? If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And that greater love has no man than this, that he would lay his life down for his friends. Jesus gave his life for us. What are we willing to give him? Have we given him the best we have? And if not, what does that say about how much we really love him? Not only did she give Jesus her best, she was willing to humble herself in order to honor him. What do you mean, preacher? Let me say this. It is impossible for us to honor God and maintain a sense of self-importance. I'm going to say it again. It is impossible for us to honor God and maintain a level of self-importance. If you still think you're the center of everything that happens around you and you're trying to minister to someone else, you're not honoring God. Sometimes you have to take a back seat and trust the fact that God still got you covered. I know in this society, sometimes it's all about you. And I've been spending the last 3-4 months studying millennials. You know what millennials are? Those that came of age in the year 2000. They became an adult and around, they became 21 around the year 2000. So for right now, that's like any of our babies that's, you know, born about 1980 or so, somewhere around in there, anybody born after the 80s. So I've been having a lot of conversation with them because they are an interesting bunch. No, and not in a bad way. Let me say some things about you about millennials. They are the most successful generation that the earth has ever seen. They are very driven. They have goals. They are the only group, the only generation that wants to give back to the societies that they live in. They are the largest group not found in churches. That's why I'm spending so much time trying to learn about millennials. I want to know what it is that keeps them out of church. And you know what it is? Us. Because we're not real. We make everything about us. We won't give time to really give back. All we talk about is give, give, give to the church. And not once do we talk about going out in the community and doing something out there. But that means something to the millennials. And guess what? That means something to God. Because our whole life is supposed to be about ministering and witnessing and drawing them out of the darkness into the marvelous light that we claim we live in. And yet we have a problem with millennials. Millennials are also very self-centered, but not so much to the fact that they're not willing to still go back and give to a society that they think has some type of just cause. This is why you see them out there doing these 5Ks and everything else to cancer awareness and stem cell research. And it's all types of things they're involved in. It blows my mind. But that's what true love and true worship will begin to do. So to pour the precious ointment of oil on someone else's feet is one thing. But to wipe it with your hair becomes something totally different. Now, in reading about this, I read a commentator who said, on a woman, hair signifies her glory. So now she took this precious oil, anointed Jesus' feet with it, and did with all her glory worship at his feet. I get choked up, see, because worship is probably the only place where you can find me crying. In the presence of God, in true worship, you set an atmosphere for that, I will break down. You can get me at a funeral of a close loved one, and I'll be straight-faced just like this. Now, I might break down and cry later on, but you ain't gonna see me doing no public crying. But this is true worship that she began to give him. And it gets me even now thinking about it, to be in this atmosphere where you could just pour out everything that you have and then worship at the master's feet because of everything that he's done for me. See, I guess that's what makes it easy for me. See, I know what it is to owe God everything. No, I owe God everything. There's nothing I have that God can't have because he gave it to me first. For those that don't know my story, and I don't have time to share my story, but you're looking at a person who was looking at 110 years behind bars, gave a taped confession to the police. So I should have did it all, but I didn't. Because clearly I'm not, I don't, hopefully, I know I look more than 410 pounds. But I know I don't look like I'm over 110 years old. And if I do, Jesus, we need to do a work. Clearly, I didn't do that time. So when I say I owe him everything, I owe him everything. Friends, I believe with all my heart that when we come to know Jesus for who he really is, it will humble us. When we know him, coming into his presence will be no ordinary thing. Worshiping him, absorbing the glory and honor to him that he alone is due, will not be something we do as a matter of routine. The better we know him, the more personal, the more intimate, the more humbling our worship experience will be. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus that you were led to tears? Have you felt him in such a powerful way that you were driven to your knees? Have you ever felt like Isaiah, when coming into the presence of God, said, "Woe is me, for I am undone"? That's where Mary was. The very presence of Jesus afforded her an opportunity to worship that was intensely personal and powerful. And the interesting thing is that others in the room didn't get it. While Mary was consumed with a passion to honor the Christ, the Son of the living God, there was others there that loved him and honored him, but they just didn't understand what she was doing. That's the next thing I want us to notice about Mary's worship. Mary worshiped despite criticism. If you look at verse 4, scripture tells us that it was Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Jesus, accused Mary of wasting her precious ointment, ointment which he claimed could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. Of course, he was not concerned about the poor, but the point I want you to see is that when you feel led to worship God from your heart, there will always be some who won't understand. There will always be some of those around you who will say you are wasting your life, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money, you're wasting the best of you that you have to give. But you can let them stop you. But worship, after all, is for an audience of one. Worship ain't what I do in KLC for any of you. My worship is an audience of one, and that one is my Lord and my Savior. When you love Jesus like Mary did, what the other people say doesn't matter. All that matters is that you demonstrate the love you have for Jesus from your heart. We need to get to a point where we stop worrying about what others think. For 3 years, I've been going through something personal. Am I going to share it now? No, I just said it was personal. For 3 years, in church, every time the doors are open, if I'm out every now and again, it's because I'm taking a motorcycle ride. But I'm in here all the time. You may not see me. I'm working behind the scenes, staying busy in church, knowing that I have a call on my life that you're not supposed to put a lampshade over this candle. But yet, I still try to put a lampshade on myself. Why? Worrying about what you think. Worrying about the things that you had to say. And guess what? God was like, "Do they have a heaven or a..." Let me help you out. You don't. You're still going to say stuff about me. Guess what? It's okay. You're still going to think certain things about me. Guess what? It's okay. We got to stop letting others' criticism stop us from worshiping the true and living God who laid down his life so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We must learn to really honor God from our hearts. I can't get caught up in what you think about me, what you feel about me. But what I will tell you is this, I'm not perfect, but I am present. I love God with everything I have. Everything. I'm here. I will continue to do what God has called me to do. Woo, God, you know, I don't like getting emotional in front of people because I might have to fight. All right. I got to shake myself out of it. So I start thinking about warfare. Then I can, you know, when I start thinking about fighting, I can break out of tears real quick because that's what I am. I'm a warrior. All right. I'm good. Thank you, Father. All right, now, we must honor Jesus from our hearts. Now, so I've had two things or two points that I've left us with. What time is it? Is that the right time? It's 12 o'clock? It's 12 o'clock? Oh, praise God. That was my other thing. I need to get out of here in a timely fashion. Glory to God. Man, I love Jesus. Woo! All right, so I've had two points. I've had two points so far. We must worship God in our home. First and foremost, we must worship him in our heart. I'm a preacher, so I like alliteration. So for me, it's always going to be easy. So if I start out with an H, I'm ending up with an H. Amen. It makes it easy. I'm just telling y'all who I am. So we honor God in our home. We honor God in our hearts. The other thing is we must learn to honor God when the opportunity is at hand. When the opportunity presents itself, you got to learn to honor him. The opportunity presented itself for Jesus to be at this house. These three people didn't know that he was going to be facing death in 6 days. They heard it, but they didn't know. But they didn't waste an opportunity. They used that time to go ahead and prepare a supper for him, to make him feel like a guest of honor in their home. They sat and they fellowshiped with him. They listened to him. They poured all out on his feet and gave him everything. They didn't waste an opportunity. You and I can't afford to waste an opportunity to make God famous during this event. But not just this event. We can't afford to waste opportunities to make God famous, period. Every opportunity you get, you should be thinking about, reflecting on how good God has been to you. And willing to share that with somebody. Somebody needs to hear it. And look, more so, this is for the men. Look, I am a man. All man. I know how hard it is to be a man. And at times we want to say we can't do it and we don't want to do it. But guess what? That's why you a man. You have to. And for us, guess what? Sometimes we need to open our mouths and share something with somebody. Stop going through by yourself thinking you can do this. You can't. No man is an island. I couldn't have got back here had I not begun to trust and rely on some of the men in this ministry. Now, let me help you out. Because of the fact we know we face people's criticism. You don't have to share with them everything, but you got to begin to open up somewhere and share something. Amen? You got to learn to trust somewhere, someone, somehow. All right. Verses 7 and 8. Jesus begins to correct Judas, telling him that the poor would be with them always, but that they would not always have him. Jesus is telling us that we should honor him, we should worship and adore him whenever the opportunity presents itself. He is speaking about that spontaneous nature of our worship. Mary did not put Jesus on her day timer. She did not have to schedule some time in her otherwise busy day specifically to honor Jesus. She did it when the opportunity presented itself. She was ready and eager to honor him and was thus able to do so at a moment's notice. While others around her were serving food or simply enjoying our Lord's company, Mary was absorbed in worship. God wants our love and our worship to be spontaneous. He wants us to be passionate about honoring and loving him. He wants it to become a magnificent obsession. While there are many good things about solemn and formalized worship, that which comes as a natural response to our love for him is usually most heartfelt. The honor Mary gave Jesus was authentic and natural. She honored Jesus when the opportunity was at hand. And this is what Jesus, when he was saying that the poor you would always have with us. Many people have misunderstood this as Jesus coming down on those that were less fortunate. Some people have even said that this was cruel or insensitive. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you study the ministry that Jesus walked in, you most often found him with the poor and the dispossessed. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. Y'all know what that is? A preacher that has just an itinerary, always traveling and preaching. That's what Jesus was. He owned no home. He owned no animals. He owned no real livestock. He was just always on the move, making God famous. That's what Jesus was, an itinerant preacher. The only thing he had of earthly value was his robe. And we know what happened with that. They gambled that when they was crucifying him on the cross. They sitting there gambling for it. This is all he had. But he oftentimes had compassion for the poor. This is why whenever he saw the multitudes, one of the first things he said was, what are we going to feed them? They need to eat. So it wasn't a cruel thing or insensitive thing he felt about the poor. Jesus was not being insensitive to the poor. He was merely stating a fact of reality. The poor will always be with us because he knew the hearts of men. The hearts of men were greedy, and they were always going to be greedy. So this is why you're always going to have some poor folk among us, because no matter how you think about it, how you feel about it, we live in a society where there's men, women who are greedy. They want more and would do whatever it takes to keep poor people under their foot. So the poor we will always have with us. We still have to show them compassion. Mary would not always have the opportunity to anoint Lord's feet with oil, and so she had to do it when the opportunity was at hand. The truth here, folks, is that opportunities for spiritual service, for honoring Jesus through our lives, are passing. We should not procrastinate or put off till tomorrow what we could do for Jesus today. In conclusion, I want to share a couple things with you. Does Jesus get honor and glory from your life? Is he honored in your home? Would he feel comfortable at your dinner table, or would he feel at home with what you watch, read, and listen to? Do you honor him from your heart? It's easy to put on a show for others to see, but is your worship heartfelt? Are you preoccupied with this idea that Jesus must be exalted through every facet of your life? Are you looking for ways in your everyday experience to bring honor and glory to Christ? If those answers are no, then let me give you four practical points that you can walk out of here with. Amen. Four. Four is our number. We are to make Jesus the unseen guest in our homes. And when you begin to think about your home, don't think about the physical building that you go to. Make Jesus the unseen guest in your home. This is your home. He's giving you this body, this flesh. It's wrapped in sin. But guess what? He still wants to be invited in. Make him priority in this home. You know, I had someone share with me, because of the fact of things I was going through, I was like, you know, a lot of times I feel so alone. I find myself eating all the time, and I'm always eating by myself. My daughter always teases me, like, Daddy, how you do that? How you go to movies by yourself, eat by yourself? But I learned a trick, and this is something somebody shared with me. Put an empty chair there and act like that's Jesus. It has helped me tremendously. Make him the unseen guest at all times. I don't care where you are, Jesus can still be that unseen guest that's with you. And when you begin to walk around thinking, I got Jesus as my honored guest, my unseen guest, it changes the way you act. It changes the things that you do and say. Amen? That was point number one. Another little practical point you could take away. Make a practice of meditating on him and his word. That being a preacher, it's easy to try to read a word and get something for somebody else's life. But to discipline yourself to get in your word every day for you is exactly what I just said. It's discipline. Many of us have heard this saying, out of sight, out of mind. It's absolutely true. You keep and put that word out of sight, Jesus will soon become out of your mind. Meditate on his word daily. Point number three, make a practice of talking to others about Jesus. One of the ways that we honor Jesus is to speak to others about him. In fact, bless the Lord means to speak well of him. And my last point, ask God to open your spiritual eyes to see opportunities where Jesus can be honored in your everyday experience. God is at work around us, enabling us to bring glory to him. The more sensitive we are to his working, the more we will be aware of the opportunities to honor him. Hallelujah. I earnestly pray that you got something out of that word. I thank you for allowing me to bring you a word. Father, I praise you. I glorify you. I exalt you. Daddy, I come into your presence declaring that there is none like you. You are the all-knowing God. Father, you know exactly what it was that each and every last one of us stood in need of before we ever entered into this room. But Father, my heart's desire is that we don't leave out of here the same way that we came in. Father, I thank you that you allowed this word that you was able to deliver through me, this empty vessel, to penetrate our hearts. Father, don't let us just walk out of here and forget quickly that which we've heard. Allow your Holy Spirit to continuously bring this thing back to our remembrance. Cause growth to happen in every area of our life. Satan, we serve you. Notice that you are defeated. We know that you are on assignment to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have the blood of Jesus that has given us total victory over you and your schemes. So you are defeated. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, and dominion both now and forever. Amen.